And now, time to feel the rush of the round table.
That's enough.
We wanted justice.
We don't live in an ideal world.
The round table, brought to you by Kotak Personal Injury Law. Get the team that has your back. Kotak, your trusted long-term disability lawyers. KOTAKlaw.com.
Ryan and Jay on the rush. The Tuesday edition of the round table begins. From the National Post, Christy Blatchford is with us in studio. Principal at Navigator, Amanda Galbraith, and CEO of Civic Action, Savan Pelvetsian. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
All right, let's start off with this press conference that happened today. I heard about some hidden camera footage inside our respite centers, and I thought, ooh, this is going to be good. Something untowards was going on in these, again, temporary respite centers where people can come in from the cold if they're out on the streets. It didn't seem like anything out of what I had actually expected. You had some tape on the floor dividing people's beds. There were cots. Yeah, it was crowded, but I would expect that when the temperatures have dipped well below minus 20. Here's Kathy Crow, homeless activist and street nurse, talking a little bit about the footage.
They all show extreme crowding. They all show individuals that are there that are either relying on a walker or a wheelchair. There's a lot of noise. There's coughing.
Now, Amanda, when I look at something like this, certainly it's not somewhere I would want to live, and I feel bad, and I think we should try better time and time again for people. But these are temporary situations we're talking about.
Yeah, and these are temporary situations that the individuals involved in this press conference called for the city to create. We didn't have enough temporary places when there was bad weather, and there was nowhere for people to go. So we opened these 24-hour shelters, and all of a sudden they're open, and they're being used as they should be, and now there's secret camera, I'm quoting air quotes right now, to push people in. Yes, it's people's job to advocate, but this is torquing this issue and, like, frankly, playing politics with it. I think we can do better by our homeless population, but the idea that we can declare a state of emergency and fix it overnight is not possible. It's a long-term challenge that we face, and these are temporary shelters, which were used by 800 people, my understanding is last night, that they're being used for what they're for, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, Savan, when you think about it, they called for it, the activists did, their requests were accommodated, and now we're still hearing complaints about things like coughing and loud noise. I would expect that's going to happen.
Yes, and I would expect what else is going to happen is this is yet another iteration where our infrastructure, we have outgrown it as a city. We've outgrown our transit infrastructure, we've outgrown our housing stock, we've outgrown our hospitals, our subways, and yes, we've outgrown our shelter situation. Think about as well the different and additional users that are now in those shelters. So 40% of folks that are using those, the most vulnerable, are refugees and asylum claimants. That's up 40% today. 3 years ago, that was at 11%. So there's huge new need on an already taxed system, and we need a long-term solution, not just Band-Aids and temporary state.
Christy, let me ask you, did we need this kind of hidden camera, this six-minute hidden camera footage to reveal all of this today, to tell us that we had a problem?
No, I mean, I agree with your read of it. It obviously isn't, a luxury hotel. It's pretty basic and pretty simple, but they are, after all, warming centers. They're not meant to be permanent or even long-term temporary housing. They are respite centers. And I think if your choice is sleep on a grate on the street or sleep in a cot in a cramped dorm-like building which is heated, you pick the latter. And we talk all the time about the housing crisis in the city, and it dates back 30 or 40 years. It's exacerbated now because of refugees and asylum, as Savant said. I'm not sure the only solution is to build more infrastructure for people who are, I hope, in temporary difficulty, or if the answer is in part to figure out how to deal with refugee claimants more quickly than the exorbitant length of time it takes. You know, the system's certainly broken, but I don't know that you fix it by making respite centers permanent or more luxurious.
Yeah, and I think the latter part of what you said is very interesting. The time it has taken to process these people is well past the point of what is a realistic expectation for most people.
A Toronto police officer has pleaded guilty to misconduct at a tribunal hearing for using his position to obtain a woman's information for his own personal gain. He had actually first admitted to the misconduct during a criminal trial last year where the woman accused him of rape. He was later acquitted, and that was shortly after the two had met 10 years previous. And when it comes to police using databases for their own personal gain, Amanda, does it seem like 4 days dock pay is enough for something like this?
I mean, this seems pretty brutal for what the individual did. And I think, you know, when you take these positions, like whether it's in hospitals or when you have access, banks, you have access to people's personal information, like there's a higher duty of care there, right? And if you're abusing it because you want to have, like, for kicks, if you're abusing it for personal gain, I think that you have to have a greater and stiffer penalty because, frankly, you have access to that stuff. Like, I don't want anyone going through my bank data. I remember when, this actually makes me think of when, you know, the late Mayor Rob Ford, when he was in hospital, people went through his stuff, right? Yeah. And how awful that was. Yeah.
And what happened to the people who leaked it, I wonder?
I don't know. Actually, I truthfully have no idea what happened.
Yeah, it's interesting. Somebody asked us on the text board, and I did a little bit of digging and thought, nope, there's nothing out there that actually tells us what happened to those people.
Yeah.
Tough to find.
That's probably because whatever happened was less than what happened to this police officer.
Yeah, but I mean, this type of thing happens, Savan. We were talking about this earlier today. It not only happens in healthcare, as we just talked about, but with police, but with anybody with access to a database, it tends to be that this information gets used.
That's incredibly creepy. And in this case, yeah, there are some criminal aspects to it. We watch, though, this is a new era where data and privacy is mattering more, and there are new forms to deal with it. Like just today, France sued, fined Google $76 million because they weren't taking care of data and consent properly. So this has got to be more than just a slap on the wrist for a whole bunch of reasons. But I think we're entering a new era where there are going to be tougher penalties and higher bars of expectation.
Let me just tell you, I did just end up finding it. Rob Ford's electronic health records, the health workers who snooped into it, both pleaded guilty under the Personal Health Information Protection Act, and they were both fined $2,500, according to court records.
So $2,500, 4 days. I guess that's the sort of the lower end of the penalties. Is that the key to this, though, you think, Christy? Stiffer penalties?
Yeah, I think probably. And I'm not sure which is worse. It's creepy to look up to use your CPIC police computer to find dating victims. And it's pretty creepy that somebody leaked his personal health information, the late mayor. So I think they're equally creepy, and I would have doubled the penalty in both cases.
I know that all of you are waiting with bated breath for the new food guy. It's here now, folks. I'm very happy to tell you.
Thank God. Yeah. The blessing to tofu.
Yeah, just a few minutes away from dinner time. I know you're all confused. You're all wandering around, hunger pains and what have you. There's a food guide out today. It's the long-anticipated revised food guide. A lot of it steers us away from things like dairy and meat in favor of grains and fruits and vegetables. Amanda, any surprise here? And specifically the dairy part of it. A lot of people are saying, yeah, great, we're not under the thumb of the dairy farmers any longer, but I'm somebody who I'll never put down my glass of milk because what does that look?
It's so gross. Milk grosses me out.
Agreed.
You're drinking another mammal's milk as an adult. It's just very strange if you actually think about it intellectually.
I'm not drinking it directly from the mammal.
Doesn't matter, man.
Process.
Doesn't matter. It's weird. We don't see anyway.
Go
ahead, Chrissy.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry.
I think this is probably a little overdue. I think it's also a bit of an example of a government overstep. There's an entire section, Chris Selly was tweeting about it today, about how to consume water. You may consume water either hot or cold. And then it suggests possible ways to add flavor to your water, which include blackberries and mint, raspberries and cucumber,
ooh,
strawberries and fresh basil.
Sounds lovely.
To release most flavor, crush the berries, chop and tear the herbs, and cut fruit into cubes. Why is my government paying people to do that?
Savan, this took 6 years to come out.
Did 2000, it really?
2013 wow. is when they started working on this. And for the record, they did consultation. Everybody told them they were fine with the current food guide.
Yeah.
They ignored it and went with this anyway.
Yeah, they sure as heck didn't ask me. I don't like it. I don't know. Admittedly, I like the plate picture because that's kind of cool. And it replaces that rainbowy thing that used to be from the former version. But we're living at a time where, you know, a lot of people are wearing Fitbit watches. We are chronically obsessed with tracking stuff, right? How many hours did I sleep last night? How many steps did I take today? And we've actually stripped out the real metrics of serving size. Like, I actually like someone saying you need to have 3 servings of fruit a day. And then in my head, I calculate that and try to put that in my kids' lunches or whatever. So we've actually stripped all that out. And I think we're going to, I think that's a negative change to the food guide. Having said that about milk, I don't like milk because it tastes like liquid chalk to me. So I've never been a fan. But those are two unrelated issues in my issue with the
food guide. Blasphemous in this room. Christy, are you joining the non-milk trifecta?
No, I haven't yet diagnosed myself with a lactose intolerance. And in fact, I am intolerant, as I've said before, of all intolerances. So if you're lactose intolerant, I'm intolerant of you. Shut up.
What was interesting was listening to people call us all afternoon to tell Ryan how lucky he was that he could still have milk.
Yeah, I'm all of a sudden like the milk poster boy. Oh, it's so shit, your age. I'm 42, loving milk. People are patting me on the back. Attaboy. Okay.
We're trying to figure out if this story falls into the busybody category or just people, you know, just having genuine concern. It's a photo of a dog sitting in freezing temperatures outside of an Ontario business, sparking outrage. You guessed it. Online. In the photo, the animal can be seen sitting outside of its shelter on a snow-covered lot of a motorcycle sports store. Temperatures at the time around minus 20. The person who took the picture saying, you know, it makes me very sad that this dog is exposed to the elements. They, of course, do what you do in 2019, which is upload the photo to Facebook and share it to thousands of people. Here's what the dog's owner had to say about their dog.
Seamus is inside right now, and he does not like being inside because he is meant to be outside. Seamus has an insulated doghouse. He has straw in it. No blankets because Seamus doesn't like blankets. He gets too hot and the straw helps him regulate his temperature, as does panting and fur and what dogs are for. So Seamus is going to go back outside now because he really wants to go outside. But he will come back inside and go to his insulated kennel with food and water and will be well loved by his keepers. Bye, Seamus.
Now, Christy, when it comes to animal welfare, I think we all want the best for animals, but I don't know that necessarily you're really showing concern for an animal that's freezing if you're uploading it to Facebook as opposed to maybe knocking on the door of the business and saying, hey, is your dog okay?
Yeah, exactly. And the dog is, I think, an Akita, which has a double coat. They are big guard dogs. They probably are happiest outside. This was not a teacup poodle quivering in the cold, you know? That's the problem with the busybodies on social media. Ugh.
Yeah, Amanda, from a PR standpoint, it was good for the company to sort of clap back with a video of their own saying, no, this dog's fine. It actually likes being outdoors.
Yeah, and I think it was smart, right? She dealt with it factually. You can actually hear the dog in the background agitating to go outside. And you can tell they love their animal because the way they speak about him. So I thought they actually did a really great job of, and I think we're going to see more of this, right? We're even seeing more now brands realize you can actually ride out the wave of this online outrage if you have facts and you respond quickly as they did.
Yeah, Savon, that stuck out to me. You know, you've got the dog in the video. Okay, people see it. It doesn't look like it's upset. It's not under any great pain or what have you. It seemed to work out in their favor.
It did. The system worked in this case. And yes, we're talking more through social media as opposed to one-on-one interactions, which probably has a lot of downside. But in this case, it worked. And the SPCA said, this is legit. And so I think a happy resolution in the end of this one. It's a nice change.
Also, I found out that Seamus, the dog, and myself have a lot in common because I, too, don't like a lot of blankets or comforters. I get hot, very warm. It's best just to sleep with a sheet. So that's what me and Seamus.
Your bed of straw.
Said. Yeah, I sleep in a bed of straw, basically, most nights while I drink on my milk. Christy, Savon, Amanda, thank you all so much.
The Roundtable was brought to you by Kotak Personal Injury Law. Get the team that has your back. Kotak, your trusted long-term disability lawyers. Call 1-888-GO-KOTAK.